This all stemmed from the simple and longstanding observation that women who receive adjuvant chemotherapy will develop premature menopause and as a result become infertile. And it's an old observation. And we, about 1994, 1995, after kicking around some ideas with a woman at that time who was a fellow named Hallie Moore, we came across some literature from Israel where some investigators there had given leuprolide to suppress the ovaries in young women getting chemotherapy for Hodgkin's disease. And in a non-randomized clinical trial, and a piece of literature that would be probably roundly criticized for being statistically inadequate, they had suggested that they could prevent amenorrhea. So we constructed a project with the help of some fertility specialists where we did nothing more than give people concurrent leuprolide with their chemotherapy. So this was not a new idea. It was an idea that had been studied in a quasi-scientific setting only once in that Israeli study that I made reference to. And we just decided to do it in an organized way. It was done very simply, and I'm still convinced that's probably the best way to do it is simply. Patients who were going to receive adjuvant chemotherapy who were premenopausal and had a particular interest in maintaining fertility were invited to enroll in this project. It was not a randomized trial. It was a pilot study of giving leuprolide concurrently with their adjuvant chemotherapy and then stopping it. And we just accrued patients at a very measured pace. We did not do this with every premenopausal woman. That was not the intent. The primary intent was to find patients who had a particular interest in preserving ovarian function. And so we would enroll patients at a rate of probably 5 or 6 per year and then began to report patients after we had what we felt was a reasonable number who had been followed for at least 1 year after the end of their chemotherapy to assess their ability to resume menstrual function. So the first objective was to see how many patients would retain or regain normal menstrual function. Of course, everybody who got leuprolide became menopausal. The chemotherapy regimens that we gave were varied, but mostly AC or AC with Taxol. A few patients had CMF, one patient had CAF. But by and large, we found that the initial cohort of 13 patients and a subsequent report of 27 patients, all patients except one resumed regular menstrual cycles, and they would do it within a median time of 5 months from the end of their chemotherapy. So the first objective had been reached. We had set an arbitrary statistical goal of regaining menstrual function in 66%. We felt that that was a reasonable number in a broad age range of patients, which ranged from about 29 to 47. We continued that project with enthusiasm. And then as time went on, we began to look at the actual fertility outcomes. And this is where it became troublesome. And this is why the project has been taken into the cooperative group setting through SWOG, where it should be. But we did not offer this outside of a randomized clinical trial to patients after 2002, because we made the observation, inaccurate as it may be, that patients who went through this process, despite regaining menstrual function, seemed to have difficulty conceiving. Now, the sticky part here is that if you ask the question, how likely should a woman be to conceive normally, that information is a little bit hard to acquire. It is an age-related phenomenon. I don't know that there's really a known figure that's known to be precise. If a woman's ability to conceive is, say, 20%, which is, of course, very low, then what would be an acceptable outcome for our patients? Well, we didn't think about this ahead of time. We were just looking at the regaining of menstrual function as our immediate measure of success. And what we observed is that in following these patients closely, out of the 27, we established what we felt was a reliable denominator of patients who were actually trying to get pregnant. And we followed their efforts over time. And to our dismay, over a follow-up period that exceeded 5 years, the success rate for patients who were trying to get pregnant was around 20%, which we felt was not acceptable.
What was the median age in that group?
Median age in that group was 38. And that is an age range where the ability to conceive probably should be greater than 20%. We did not set statistical boundaries for stopping the project based on fertility. In retrospect, we should have done that, but that's a very hard thing to do.